You're listening to Magic From Wherever I'm At with your host, the magician, time traveler, and charmer, D'Artagnan.
All right, welcome to another edition of the podcast. I'm D'Artagnan, and today we are here going to tackle the idea of the magic matrix. And I think the Matrix, the movie, and the series of movies, and a series of transmedia ways that they attempted to tell the story of the Matrix, sort of all-encompassing things, which were ultimately kind of a failure, I would say, the way they tried to do it. But it was avant-garde for the time. But I think the Matrix itself, the original movie, of course, is very metaphorical. You know, it has the metaphors of enslavement, control, humans being their own, causing their own downfall. And this is a lot of recurring themes in a lot of movies like The Terminator and so forth. But if you port over from everyday life into the Matrix becoming a metaphor for the magic, for magic and for the magic community, you will see equal metaphors can be used when it pertains to, I would say, the rise of what I call tricksterism in magic. When I was researching other podcasts that you've already listened to, perhaps, one thing I noted as I was doing a bunch of research was that there used to literally be a who's who of performers attending magic meetings, like SAM IBM meetings. You know, Leipzig, Al Baker, Vernon, people like this. Accomplished thinkers and performers who actually either did magic for a living or were known to have, you know, a grasp on what magic really was. When I attended my first magic meeting, which was in Winnipeg, Manitoba, shortly after I was seduced into magic at a toy counter at Toad Hall Toys, the first thing that struck me, I went there sort of be like, you know, amongst my brethren, the first thing that struck me, and this is probably several months after I started into magic, was that none of the people were performers. Yeah, you know, maybe they performed for their friends and their family, but they weren't real performers. They didn't, and most of them didn't seem to even aspire to performing. And I think I've mentioned this in another podcast, but eventually, right before I hit the road to do street magic, I took a friend of mine to sort of family magic day put on by this club. And my friend, who'd never been exposed to live magic before, I don't think I even had done anything for him. He just knew I was interested in it. He didn't know sort of how deep down the rabbit hole I really had gone. When I took him to this club show, I remember walking back to the car with him. I think I may have told this story in an email or something, maybe. But there was just silence the whole way back. And as we get in the car, he was just like, what the fuck was that? You know, that was basically his response. He could not process what he had just seen. Cause he had seen, you know, some magic on TV. He'd seen Penn and Teller. He'd seen some David Copperfield. He'd seen a few, he'd even seen Bill Malone, I believe, do Sam the Bellhop at one point. Cause he had looked it up on YouTube. He'd come across it on YouTube. But when he saw that show, he was like, this is nothing like that. What the hell is this? And that's the same thing I had when I attended my first lecture with the Magic Club. Now, as I've said many times in person, and maybe many times on this podcast, I don't even recall some of the things I've said now on this podcast, but I've really I'm trying to think if there's anybody I've met in magic that I would consider, like, that I didn't think was nice. And I don't think there's a single one. I've heard of people who aren't nice. I've heard stories about people who, unflattering stories, but I've never heard about real, you know, assholes or whatever you want to say. But unfortunately, being nice and being good and understanding what magic is about are not connected in any way, shape, or form. And so that leads to a big problem. And we're going to delve into this matrix, because I think the matrix in the magic thing is the magic community itself. It's conspiring. Almost, not unknowingly either. But it's conspiring against you, not in a malicious way, necessarily. But their agenda and goals are much different than somebody who's interested in magic and wants to actually understand what magic is. Those two groups are completely on different paths. And when you're getting into magic, what you're exposed most to is the magic community, whose, like I said, just said, agenda is completely diverged from understanding what magic really is. And so this is creates this matrix-like dichotomy where people get lost in tricksterism because the magic community pushes tricks. It's a marketing thing. And I'm not against marketing. You know, I do marketing myself, of course, and marketing is required for putting on shows and getting people to sell stuff, and I dabble in those particular fields myself. But when it comes to understanding what magic is and truly learning about magic, that is wholly separate. And it creates confusion for the average person, it seems like, because a lot of people end up, I'd say most people end up tricksters, and even a lot of performers who you would consider professional magicians end up as tricksters. They just do the tricks. They don't put any work whatsoever into their presentations. They don't put any work whatsoever into trying to communicate other than the bold-faced surprise of a simple trick. You know, if you listen to the last podcast, of course, one of the things I had said was I quoted from John Mendoza's close-up presentation book, where he said that a lot of people you consider professional performers, need to hear what he had to say in that book, which was basically, you're not good at entertaining. You're good at doing tricks, and tricks aren't magic. That's basically the synopsis of his, what he wrote. And of course, that's what I've said in basically every single podcast, all 58 of them that I've recorded so far. So this is the matrix, because when you get into magic, you run up against a bunch of problems. And the first one is, of course, that it's long been assumed that you are to make up your own presentations. So magic authors who are publishing their work very generously so that you may take their findings and create presentations for them and help proliferate them out into the world and show them to the general public. It's long been known that that's how this occurs. You're supposed to make up a presentation. You're supposed to come up with something original to yourself. You're not supposed to copy and paste somebody else's presentation. You may be inspired by their presentation. Some aspects of your presentation may be an homage to another presentation. But most people just wholly take whole presentations and just do them verbatim. None of which matches their own personality, their own character. They don't even have a character. They're trying to, like, tread on somebody else's character. You know, I saw a thing not so long ago on library.com where a guy was releasing all his scripts. You could buy scripts for different tricks on library.com. And that's fine if you've just gotten into magic and you don't know what a script looks like and you don't know you should have a script. Then those are training wheels, essentially, that you can purchase, read through, learn, do it that way a few times, so that you can understand the structure of what that person is doing. But to take those scripts and then use them for the rest of your career, or to use them beyond just to, you know, to understand what they're, how these things are constructed, is larceny, basically. I mean, even though this guy is selling them and putting them out there, to take that and do it that way, beyond a, beyond learning what it's about, a learning phase, because those scripts have nothing to do with you as a person. They have zero to do with any sort of character you may want to portray. And they're so generic, having been sold to a whole whack load of people, that you're just rendered worthless almost in a way. And yeah, I'm sure you can do them and get good get some laughs with them, and people will think, oh, you're good. Because the thing that's saving you is that people see so few magicians. So if you do that script that you bought off of library.com and you do that in a show, people are going to say, oh, that guy's great. Because they're never going to see Larry, the guy who originated it and sold it. They're not going to see him perform, right? Because they're only going to see one or two magicians live their whole life. So that's what's saving you. But that is not a reason to do it that way. You know, so many people I see almost uniformly use Gazzo's pattern for his cups and balls. It's one thing to use the routine itself, but it's another thing to use all the patter and attempt to be Gazzo, which is really what people are doing. When you're taking somebody's whole presentation and using it lock, stock, and two smoking barrels, not only is it just wrong, it's unoriginal, it's hackneyed, but you're an idiot for doing it. I mean, it makes you, you know, when I see people do that, I'm embarrassed for them. And my appreciation for that person immediately evaporates. And I'm sure many of those people are actually good people. I'm sure they mean well, because everyone likes to say that. Everyone means well. But I don't mean well when I'm saying this. And I think anyone who does it has no place performing for anybody. Because you're just making a mockery out of this whole thing. You know, it used to be a funny commercial during one of the elections where the guy said, it's a travesty, a sham, and a mockery. It's a travesham mockery. And that's basically what it is when you do stuff like this. Now, if you want to throw in some stock lines and stuff, you know, as a street performer, I've used a lot of stock lines, especially at the very beginning, like I said, because when you're learning stuff, a lot of this stuff helps you to understand the structure of things. But if you don't then go back and attempt to correct that by inserting more original, at least giving it a twist or something, that says something about you as a person. It says something about your character. It says something about your creativity. It says a lot of things that are negative about you as a performer. Now, what's also saving people is that most people don't perform. They can't understand what magic is about because they never actually perform beyond their family and their friends. That's why I don't consider people who do that magicians. You should not use that term if that's what you're doing. You want to just call yourself a move monkey or a trickster and own it, then you have my respect. Because this matrix is in place to hold you into buying into this tricksterism cycle. So let's go back to this matrix analogy. Because this is what it is. It's basically the magic community is conspiring against you. Like I said, it's not malicious. It's their agenda is a marketing, money-making agenda, which I'm not against. But you can't learn magic from that agenda and those people. You just can't. And we'll get to a specific example in a second. So they're trying to push tricks down your throat at any cost because that's how they make their money. They sell tricks. So if you're trying to learn magic and magic isn't about tricks, then the magic community is not a place you can learn about magic. That's why I'm completely against like YouTube magic and stuff. I think it's just horrible. First of all, nothing I've ever seen on there that wasn't taken from like a professional show from like TV or something is any good whatsoever. It's just terrible. Like the worst, the lowest, most crass, terrible kind of magic imaginable. No presentations, bunch of tricksters, and they're teaching all sorts of sleights and stuff what they're doing wrong. They don't even know how to do this stuff. I'm talking about popular YouTubers and stuff. I could name names that I don't have to. You could look it up yourself. They can't even do the moves themselves. And more importantly, it's all out of context. The context for those moves is within a routine, within a show. That's the context. So you remove that, you've destroyed all the context. There's no reason for that whatsoever. And this is the agenda of the magic community. The magic community is conspiring to keep you guzzling down tricks like you're on a drunken weekend, a sailor on a weekend pass. Guzzling down more tricks. And we've all done it. We've all bought tricks, never used them, throw them in a drawer. Every magician's got a drawer full of crap, basically. I've done it. You've done it. We've all done it. But this is, let's put a stop to this. For people who are coming after us, liable to make the same mistakes I did, this is why I'm putting this out here. You've got to free yourself. You've got to take the red pill. You got to get out of the matrix. You got to invest in reading old books, which you can get from your library. Don't even have to purchase them. You can go into archive.org online and find like reams of old books by Hoffman. Secrets of Conjuring and Magic by Robert Houdin. All sorts of old books. Wizard of the North, John Henry Anderson. You can find his book on there. All the books basically from like the 1900s and early 1900s and 1800s, you can find on archive.org for free. For free. And a lot of those things have just been stolen and resold through online marketplaces. All the big retailers that we all know. You know, because it's just, that's their agenda. Their agenda is to keep you guzzling down tricks. And that's why the magic community is just rife with terrible or non-performers. It's just as simple as that. It's the matrix. So when you take the red pill, when you listen to something like this, you're taking the red pill. Because now you should be aware on that. And if you want to buy tricks and stuff, if you have a legitimate use for something, you see how it's going to fit into something you're doing, or you have an idea for something, by all means. That's not what I'm talking about. But magic is about performing. It's a performance art. If you're not performing, you're not really participating in the field of magic. And Eugene Berger is famous for saying that, you know, the magic community or the house of magic has many rooms and like all people are welcome. I don't ascribe to that theory. I think you're shortchanging yourself big time. If your interest is in magic and you don't perform, and I'm not talking about becoming a professional performer. I'm talking about getting out there performing for strangers. You don't have to do it as a career or anything. But if you're not performing regularly for strangers, maybe that's just free at a bar when you go out with your friends. I don't know. I don't know what form that would take. But you can't understand magic unless you perform. It's impossible. It'll never happen. You'll never have an appreciation for magic the way someone who performs does. And I know this because I've been around a lot of people who don't perform much at all. And they don't view magic the same way. They're still stuck in the tricksterism mindset. They're still saying trick, 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 trick. And that's all you see on social media. If I scroll through the first 10 things on social media, all I see is a bunch of presentationless garbage. Most of it's not even, the trick itself is not even done well. And just slam it up on YouTube and Instagram and Twitter and whatever as fast as can be. Saying, look at me, look at me, look at me. And it's just degrading, demoralizing. You don't take magic seriously if that's what you're doing. Because you're part of the problem. And anyone who's listened to this, who's taken the, you know, has drank in the elixir, taken the red pill, and you got friends that are like this, you call them out for that crap. You call them to task. Because this is how this whole thing has been degraded to the point where, you know, the public at large has this perception of magicians that is quite low. And we've done it to ourselves. We've done it because that's exactly what people believe magic is now. And it's the people within magic that believe that. Oh, just do this trick here. Let me do this trick. Where's everything else? You've done the first 10%. Where's the other 90%? Why aren't you actually working on something? And if you go back to my episode about Ricky Jay, somebody asked Ricky Jay one time, I think it was in that New Yorker article, why he didn't teach people. He said because he still thought he was a student. He still thought he hadn't learned enough to really teach. Now, of course, Ricky Jay, he knew enough to teach. What he was saying was he didn't want to waste his time with tricksters. That's basically what he was saying. That's why he stayed away from most people calling themselves magicians, because they didn't take it seriously. They didn't love magic, even though they said so, because their actions spoke louder than their words. That's why you never saw Ricky Jay after a certain period of time. He never performed at the Magic Castle again. I think this is supposed to be the bastion of where magic is, you know, the house of magic is, you know, this revered thing. But Ricky Jay, you know, said in that article that he didn't believe that. He thought it was ineptitude and larceny was mostly what the Magic Castle was about. You know, what, to what standard is anything being held? None, I'd say. So I'm definitely on Ricky Jay's end of the spectrum, where I think this is just not a good idea. If you don't put real work into what you're doing, then you don't have any respect for the art. It's that simple. And you are still stuck in the matrix if all you're doing is tricks. So the easy way to unplug from the matrix is to start thinking about what you're doing. Instead of just doing tricks and it's trick, 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 I'm a magician, trick, 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 trick. Start actually putting some work into those tricks so that they become magic. It's like you're no longer just a trickster, you're actually a real magician. Somebody, other people, because let me tell you, you're going to get different reactions if you put the work in. Way different. You're not going to believe it because you've never seen those reactions for yourself. You've never experienced them for yourself. But let me tell you, I was you once listening to this. If you're listening to this now, I was you once. Where I did tricks, and when I put the work into stuff, it got way different. Way different reactions. Now I'm going to put this little next segment in here because this whole thing's basically been a rant, so that seems to be what people like. And it's what's important, I think. Not to be ranty necessarily, but to communicate strong opinions about what should be a beautiful art. You know, why do you think people like Max Maven says that 20th century magicians take something that was so inherently profound and render it trivial? Because of tricksterism. Because people not taking it seriously. People saying they love it, but their actions not speaking that. So, in the midst of all this, I'm going to include another little tidbit, which is I've had three or four friends ask me about a specific book that came out recently called Magic is Dead. And when I first heard what this book was about, I already knew. I didn't have to read it. I already knew what it was going to be about. I read it anyways, just to be for the sake of completeness, and because I can read things really fast. And this is exactly what I'm talking about. Now, I'm going to save you the trouble. Don't waste your money on this book, because it's the epitome. You know, it's like the hood ornament, I would say, of the magic community. This piece of garbage. Because basically, and from a magic perspective, I'm talking about, from a marketing perspective, I'm sure it's exactly what you'd want it to be, actually. But from a magic perspective, this whole book, now magic is dead within the magic community because, like I said previously, the agenda is just to sell tricks, make money off tricks, 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 drink down the tricks. And the Magic is Dead book is supposed to be about these young magicians, who aren't, incidentally, all of which are just marketers and YouTubers pushing that agenda of selling tricks. So the guy who wrote the book is a young person who claims to be a journalist of some kind, and perhaps he is, I don't know. And the book isn't poorly written, I would say, either. I thought the writing was... wouldn't say it was excellent, but I thought it was certainly passable. And he's basically talking about a bunch of YouTubers, marketing people, all who've built a reputation on selling stuff, not actually doing anything. And none of the people that, you know, he's talking about there are any good at actual what matters in magic, which is performing it and putting real work into your presentations. They're all just magic community geeks who sell magic tricks. And so the whole book is, from a magic perspective, the whole book is a waste of time and really just a fantasy tome, much like all the characters involved. They're all, you know, just made up, basically, whose only claim to fame is being on YouTube or selling stuff and coming up with fantastical backstories which have no basis in reality and who nobody should really care at all about unless you're them. And it's a marketing vehicle for you and your tricks. And like I said, the title of it is Magic is Dead. And from the perspective of magic, in that book, magic is dead because nobody in that book is doing any magic. You know, the patter, early in the book, this quasi-journalist who wrote it, he encounters this person calling herself a magician, this female, and she does this card trick for him. It's the epitome of the worst kind of garbage I've talked about on this podcast for now 58 episodes straight. The patter is just verbatim process patter. We're going to take your card. You're going to sign it. Oh, now that you've signed it, it's the only one like this in the whole world. And we're going to put it in the middle, and then you're going to click your fingers. It's going to come back to the top. I don't know how you did that. Blah, blah. I mean, it's the worst kind of patter. And so the key to all this is to avoid books like this. There's a book that came out a few years ago, too, called Fooling Houdini, where this moron who wrote it also framed it like he'd learned the big secrets of magic. You know, and he'd really not learned anything about magic. He'd learned only about tricks. And very famously, Ricky Jay wrote a review of that book, which I've included on my website. If you go to the Ricky Jay episode and find out where the Ricky Jay page, I think it's d'artagnanmagic.com/Ricky Jay. You can go there, and his review is part of the stuff I put on the Ricky Jay page, because he just absolutely destroys that book. And if Ricky Jay were still alive, he'd absolutely destroy this book as well, because it's just, from a magic perspective, again, from a magic perspective, it's just a piece of garbage. It's nothing more than a vehicle to sell more tricks, pump up the popularity of YouTube and marketing non-magicians, just tricks, just straight out tricksters. So that's why I didn't label this. You know, this is all part of the matrix of the magic community that is conspiring against you. Because if you're truly interested in becoming great at performing magic, and that's the only way you can truly understand magic, is you have to put in the other work. You can't be satisfied with being a trickster, because you're truly not participating in magic if that's what you're doing. And that's going to bring to close this episode. Including that little review has caused us to run closer to half an hour. But you must take the red pill. You must back your way out of the magic community. If you want to truly learn what magic is about, you have to get the hell away from the magic community. Go to archive.org, read the old books, educate yourself on what magic was about when people who actually performed were still involved. That's the important part. That's how you truly get an immersive experience of what magic can be. You know, you can find me on all social media, D'Artagnan Magic on all social media. You can go to d'artagnanmagic.com. You can go to d'artagnanmagic.com/real magic, where I show you how to make presentations. Because people, I think, when I talk to people through email who respond after listening to the show and stuff, one of the things I constantly come up against is that people think this is difficult. It's difficult to come up with a presentation. And you think maybe, oh, I'm not creative. I don't know what to do. I don't know, you know. That's why I made this course. Because I will show you how simple. There's some presentations I have for some of the tricks I do. Not that I do on my show, because that whole thing is more interwoven. But when I do tricks sort of in a one-off situation for strangers, some of the presentations amount to maybe 4 or 5 sentences total. I mean, you can't come up with 4 or 5 sentences? Like, come on. You should have more respect for yourself. But people think it's, you know, they hear storytelling, they hear humor, they think I'm not funny. Even in Mendoza's book last week, he said you should stay away from humor and storytelling. Like, people are afraid of these things. And you should not be afraid of those. You should embrace them. You should learn about them. It's just like another skill. It's all just a matter of increasing your skill set. And storytelling and humor are no exception. So I'm going to leave you with this quote. It is from a rapper named Tink, who I'm completely not familiar with, but I stumbled across this quote and thought to myself, what a beautiful expression of things I say on this podcast every time there's an episode. And Tink's quote says, "The key to artistry is being able to say stuff the way other people can't." Just think about that. I'm going to leave you with that note. That's the end of this episode, number 58 of Magic from Wherever I'm At. Until next time.